All right, we're going to keep our service hopefully moving right along today because we are going to have to be getting ready for tonight's performance again. But anyway, it's been working out very well. There have been so many people that have helped on this, and it makes a wonderful camaraderie also, I think. You know, Christmas isn't just in the Bible in certain gospel stories. We read things like Luke 2 and some of these passages of Scripture. Some of the places, too, in the Old Testament that are prophetic and they talk about Christmas coming. But it's also something that is found throughout the Bible in little places. And I want to just look at that this morning here. We're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. You'll notice, right, in this section here that we find a reference to Christmas itself. I thank you who have given me strength of Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full attention, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. There is Christmas time. He goes on and he says, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We know that at around Christmas time, there's a lot of advertising that takes place all over the place. You get it in the mail, catalogs and all sorts of things come on a regular basis, and you're constantly being reminded about the things that are available to be purchased. Some of these advertisements are reliable. Some of them are not. Some of them are maybe a little fraudulent. But nonetheless, we know that one advertisement, one message that was given long ago was something that was totally reliable. The Bible says here that this message that the Apostle Paul is worthy of fully accepting it. There's no mistake about it. No error in it in any ways. You can believe it entirely. You can take it as full assurance from beginning to end because God himself gave it to us in the person of his Son. Now this passage of Scripture here that I read this morning has in it what we call one of the faithful sayings of the Apostle Paul. There are five different places in the Bible here, in Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul mentions that he is giving a faithful saying. And maybe you wonder what that is all about. Back in the New Testament church, they had people that were known as prophets. Not only in the Old Testament, but there were also prophets. And that's why even today Christians are regarded as being prophets, priests, and kings. But you know, the prophets of the Old Testament didn't have Bibles like we do. I read from a Bible version here this morning, and there are so many different versions that we have. But back in those days, some of the prophets had introduced some sayings that were part of the early church worship, that when they repeated these things, and they would do that often, it was a faithful saying that could be trusted. It was kind of like learning your early doctrine or maybe like catechism class years ago. It was a very important thing to just learn all these important facts about the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul says that all of these were faithful sayings from God. Now, why Paul is talking about this is all because he's leading up to this one very important phrase about Jesus Christ coming into the world to die for sinners, of whom he is chief, or the foremost, as our version here this morning says. I want to look at Paul's life for just a few moments here today. I want to notice five things that were true about Paul. And when you look at these things, it reminds us that the Apostle Paul grew in spiritual maturity on a regular basis. He didn't just start out fully mature as a Christian and automatically had all the knowledge that he needed. But he started out at one step, and step by step by step, he began to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. One of the things that Paul says right at the beginning was that even before he became a Christian, the first stage or the first step in his life was that of an enemy. He said, I was an opponent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had been born in a Jewish home. He had been informed all about the Bible. And yet, though he had been informed about it, he did not realize how the message was pointing ahead to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, one day on the Damascus Road, you remember what happened. Paul was stopped suddenly, and he heard the Lord instruct him about the gospel. Paul, why are you forsaking me? And he became an enemy one moment, and the next moment, he was on his way to becoming a missionary. That's quite something. He says, at one time, I was an oppressor, somebody who was a persecutor. You know, can you imagine that, going from murderer to someone who's a missionary, all in one step that God did for him in one day? And you know, it's a wonderful story here. We see the Apostle Paul talking about the fact that he was the enemy of the cross and the enemy of Jesus Christ. You know, that's important to realize, because every Christian from time to time needs to think back to what they have been before they became a Christian. Sometimes we go through life and we say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and everything's fine and look at me. And yet, if you stop and think for just a few moments, you realize that how far we have come simply because of the grace of God. Paul says here that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was poured out on me. Can you imagine that? It's like a heavy rain that just poured out upon him. God's grace, God's favor upon him. So that was stage number one. He had to start out realizing that he was an enemy of Christ. And you know, initially that's where people are. They're sinners. They're saved by grace only. And unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and stop being enemies and they turn to Christ and they receive him as their Savior, they're going to be enemies for their whole life. But you know, all of that can change in a moment by simply entrusting our lives to him. The second thing that Paul tells us about here in this passage of Scripture is not that he was just an enemy, but that he was also someone who was an example. An example of what, you say? Well, he was an example of what God can do. You know, back in these days, Timothy was a young man, a young pastor, and he liked very much to work for the Lord, but you know, he looked at his life and he said, I'm not really capable. I'm very young. I'm not well trained. I need a lot of help to be in ministry at all. And yet, the Apostle Paul says, you don't have to look at what you have been or the things that you need. You need to look at what Christ can do. And Paul says, if you want to know what it really is all about, take a look at my life. Like he said just a moment ago here, I was a murderer, I was a persecutor, I was an oppressor of the gospel. And yet, look what God did for me. He totally changed my life around. Paul went from being enemy of the cross to becoming now an example that other people should follow and look to. Now, I want to make one thing very clear this morning. We're not saved by becoming just an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that were true, we would be earning our salvation by imitating him in our life. And yet the Bible says, though we are called upon to imitate him, we do not do this in order to get salvation. Salvation is a gift. It is a free gift of grace. And those who have received it now are an example, not because of grace, but because of the fact that they are someone who is now seeking to demonstrate gratitude to God, to show that they're thankful to God. You know, think about that this morning. It's Christmas time, and people are going to be very thankful about a lot of gifts that they receive and blessings. But what about you? Are you most thankful today that Jesus Christ has come into the world and given his life for you? That's a tremendous blessing. That's a great thing of, you know, to be grateful about. Paul made all of this something that became real in his life because he believed. And that's the only way that we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the Bible says. It's a gift of God. Well, Paul was someone else that also had another stage in his life. He was not only an enemy and then became an example, but he actually became an exceptionally born child. He says, "Timothy, I was a child who was born out of season. I had an unusual birth." Stop and think about that for just a moment. When Jesus was here on the earth, he had a group of apostles that went everywhere. And yet, was Paul one of the apostles? Not until later, not until after his conversion. Paul was not part of the original 12 that went with Jesus and learned all of his teachings and all of that. Yet it was something that happened later on. Paul says, "I wasn't really an early apostle at all. Though I became an apostle by the grace of God, yet it was something that happened after the fact. It was something that happened after all the rest had already come to know Jesus. Finally, I too became a Christian." But that's a good reminder that there is never a time in a person's life that they cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. Christ is offering his grace, and it's there no matter what stage in life you might be. You might be like these young children that sang so beautifully this morning and gave their little message to us this morning. But not just for the young, but also for everybody, no matter what their age. The thief on the cross was saved in the final day of his earthly life. Now, I'm not saying we ought to try to do the same thing, but you know, it is a good testimony that his story is in the Bible to show us that no matter who we are or where we've been or what we've done, that it's still not too late. As long as we have life, there is still hope that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man, too, who was exceptionally born in another sense. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that someday the nation of Israel is going to come to its fullness. You say, well, wasn't Israel an important place in the Old Testament? Yes, but you know, the trouble was a lot of the Jewish people heard about salvation, but many of them did not believe. But one day, the Bible says, they are going to look on him whom they have pierced, and they will believe in him. They're going to see that he really is the one. He really is the Son that was promised, the Messiah. He has come into the world. And when they see that happen, what's going to take place? They're going to be born out of due season. And in what way? Because even though Paul was saved many, many years before all of that happens, yet we know that someday in the future there's going to become a time of real revival. I believe that this is pretty much connected not only throughout history, but it's also an important part of what we call the Great Tribulation. When at last the Gentiles have been brought in, the book of Romans says that God too, in the later years, is going to fill up Israel's salvation as well. Paul was one that was born late on one hand and early on the other hand. He was one born out of due season, but his birth was an exceptional one, because of the fact that God in grace had saved him and brought him to salvation. There's another thing that Paul did, another stage in his life. He says here that he was an enabled servant. You know, the word servant in the Bible is the word diakonos. We get that word as a Greek word, actually, that is one that we turn into our English word deacon. A deacon is one who serves. And in a certain sense, even though someone might not be an official deacon of the church, they can be a servant of the Lord no matter who they are. Everyone is to serve the Lord and to tell his story to others. I like the story about the shepherds because the Bible says that after they came and they saw the Messiah, they not only fully believed it, but they went everywhere. And what did they do? They were serving the Lord everywhere they went. They were telling the good news to people. Go and tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. They told all the things that they had seen and that things that they had heard that the Lord had made known unto them. And that's what Paul did too. Paul never lost the right to give credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't sit around and say, well, you know, I used to be an enemy of the gospel, but now I got my head on straight and I've got it all together now and I'm really a good guy. You know, just look at my life, how great I am. That's not how Paul talked. Paul's always talking about what God has done for him. By the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. Not any other way. I didn't earn it by my own good works. I didn't achieve it by my own merit. I didn't do it because I was such a fine citizen or a family man or whatever. It happened all because God in grace one day made it available to me. And I received him. And when that happened, I became too a servant of the Lord. And he said from that point on, the same grace that saved me, that saving grace, effectual grace, now, he says, I have another kind of grace. It's called enabling grace. Everything I do now is being directed by God's enabling grace. He's helping me to live more and more like Jesus. Now, some days, even the best Christians, I don't care who you are, we saw that in our studies some time ago, how even a man like Peter sometimes slipped up and failed, and yet, in spite of his failures, God, in his grace, not only restored him back again into full ministry, but continued to bless him all throughout his life. And you see that was true with every one of the apostles too. Everyone but one of the original apostles. They all died martyrs' deaths. Why was that? Because they went and they served the Lord until the end of their life. And when the time finally came for Lord to take them home, they came home. They were brought home. Only one left that was not directly killed. We believe that to be John the Apostle. And yet, it's an amazing story, an enabling servant, all because God made me somebody new. You know, you ask yourself that today. Has God made me something new? Am I the same old person I've always been? Am I the same person I was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a week ago? Or am I somebody that's new? What a wonderful change, the old song says. In my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When Jesus came in by his grace, he changed everything. And what he did for Paul, what he did for many others, even like Peter, so also he can do for you no matter who you are. The grace of God is available right now, even today. He can enable you to be his servant forever. The final thing I want to just mention about here, too, for Paul's stage, we've mentioned that he was an enemy and he was an example. He was an exceptionally born child and also an enabled servant. But you know, there's something else that happens. When a person becomes grateful to the Lord and they want to serve him, what happens? They also become what happened to the shepherds. On Christmas time, when they went to see the birthday of the Son, what did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped him. He was just a baby. Why in the world should these people who had been mature adults for many, many years, why should they bow down to a little baby? And yet they realized that this was no ordinary baby. This baby was not only a sinless human being, but he was also sovereign divine being. He is true and eternal God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is fully equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important thing. The shepherds began to worship him, and we see that Paul did this too. Now, we have a little bit of confusion here, though, because it says that to the king, immortal and all of this, he's bursting forth in a great doxology. But we say now, is that really being given to the Lord himself, or is that being given to the Father in heaven? And you know, there's two possibilities here. When the Bible says he's the King eternal, that means, of course, that what the Bible says about him. Jesus is the King eternal. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the greatest one that has ever lived and walked upon this earth. Jesus Christ, Son of God, King of kings. And you say, well, it must be talking about Jesus here then. But you notice the next word, it says, to the one who is invisible. Now, if you know the story of Jesus' life, he was not invisible. He walked around and he talked and saw all kinds of people and everything, healed many people. He was fully visible. So you say, well, maybe this is talking not about the Son of God, but maybe this is talking about God the Father, because God the Father is the one who's in heaven now at the throne of God there, and he has sent his Son into the world at Christmas time, and maybe it's talking about the Father. You know what I think? I think that it's either one. Whether you're talking about the Son, or whether you're talking about God the Father, or whether you're talking about God the Holy Spirit, all three are one sovereign triune God. We don't want to ignore either of them, any of these three. What do we want to do? We want to worship him. And you know, worship is not just something that we have to do. You know, I remember years ago, my friend Dan Hoogerheide, who used to work down at Hoekstra's Hardware there, he had a son there that was, he was a good boy, but you know, one day the son said, you know, Dad, we're going to church this morning, but do we got to go to church today? That's the way he said it. Do we got to go to church today? And Daniel said, oh no, we don't got to go to church today. We get to go to church today. You get just one little letter, got or get. But you see, it was a privilege to be able to go and to worship the Lord, not only in church, not just in a gathering with a group of Christian people. That's all very appropriate and very fine. But remember, even in private times, you can have that moment too. That we see in many places in Scripture that certain people just went aside and began to worship God even in private. One day, Jesus was introduced to a man by the name of Nathanael. And when he was introduced to him, Jesus said to him, I know who you are. Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus said, well, I saw you when you were over here by the fig tree, when you were gathered there and having a time of worship and a time of prayer and everything. I saw that when that was happening. I know what kind of man you are. Nathanael was shocked that even from a distance, Jesus could recognize him and knew exactly what he was doing. You know, Jesus does that even with us. God does that too, no matter where we are. We used to sing that song years ago, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful what the Father or the Son, what they see. Those little eyes are watching everything. And you know what? That's true even on the Christmas day. We find out that on Christmas day, the people are told, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This shall be to all people. Not every last person on earth is going to be saved. But you know what? It's for all people, because all who turn to him, all who believe in him, all who want to come to him and receive him, all who are convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and led to that point will find that he is able. Jesus does not turn true repentant sinners away. If people have remorse like Judas did, not good enough. You can be sorry about being a sinner and yet not really be sorry about your sins. But you know what? If you recognize that you have sinned against God and you ask him to come into your life, he will receive you. Repentance is a very important thing. It's a real change of heart. It's the word metanoia in the Greek text that means to have a new outlook, a new mind, a new insight on how you look at things. And all of that leads to what? Worship and praise of God. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ has to be all about today. Not only bringing us to salvation, but bringing us to a life of service and a life of worship. Our purpose in life is to glorify God through our worship, through our walk, through our witness. All of those things are part of what God is looking for, that we might be people who are really following Him. So, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord, what does the Bible say? They will be saved. It's not just something that might happen. The Bible says that if you truly from your heart of hearts call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Let's pray to God now. Lord, we thank you that you have been with us in the last couple days. We know that you are always with us, that you always care about us. And yet, we are so thankful that even in this time of the year when there's so much action happening all the time, that yet you have made all of this come together and given us an opportunity to worship and praise the Lord. Now, Lord, we pray that you will bless us in this service, that you'll bless us too in the days ahead here. We pray for safety, Lord. We will be traveling many places. We just pray that you will keep each one of us safe and free from harm or danger. But Lord, what's more, we also pray that more than anything else, you will come into our heart and life, and that we might know for certain that we are truly those that are no longer enemies of the gospel, but we are now following Jesus Christ with all of our heart. We pray this now in his holy name. Amen.